You turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 91. While you're turning up there, and the boys and girls are being dismissed to go downstairs, today is, well, a sad day in one sense, because we have to say a word of farewell to our brother Jacob Antolin. Jacob and his family, and certainly Nancy as well, though she'll not be departing just this Lord's Day, but they'll be taking their leave from us, moving down to California. Jacob's dad, Nancy's husband's already moved down there, and it's going to be an absence for us in our congregation. We know and love Jacob, have known for many years. He attended our school, Whitfield, and we have rejoiced in the fellowship that we've had with them over these years. Well, we're hoping this will not be a final farewell at all, but they'll be able to come back and visit us in the Lord's purpose and timing. And of course, sermon audio is always there, and the webcasts are always available if you're not able to find immediately a local church to fellowship with down there. But our prayers certainly go with you folks, and we ask that God would guide you, direct you, keep you safe, and that you would know the unfolding of His will and purpose in your life as you go. So that's our prayer certainly for you, and we will not forget you, and stay in touch with us as well, that we might know your continued fellowship. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall you. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's ask the Lord to bless us now in our service. Our loving God, as we have the Bible open now to this psalm, we pray again for understanding hearts. I pray, Lord, for the direction, the help of the Spirit of God, that the word will be clear and that everyone will understand. I pray, Father, for those who do not know the Lord today, that their very hearts would be opened by the Spirit of God to show them the wonder and the beauty and the glory of Christ Jesus. And that for those of us who are saved, we would know, Father, the near abiding of the the Spirit of God with us. Bless us now today. Encourage us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus in salvation, committing their life to Christ, and declare themselves to be a Christian in the true sense of the word, Satan's attack will be very real, and he will try to steal away the seed that has been planted in the heart by suggesting something like this. It was just an emotional frenzy. It was just something that happened. Don't get too religious about this. Or he will come at it another way. He will say, well, now that you have relief from the fears that you had perhaps of death or hell, now that that's kind of past, just get back onto life the way it was before and don't get too concerned about this once that fear has been passed. But you know, for the Christian who has come to true understanding of that, we will be very much aware that Satan is trying and attempting at every turn to take away the peace that you have in Christ, to take away the joy that you have experienced in salvation, presenting something of a false view of what Christianity really is, or presenting something in your own heart whereby you have been deceived. Yet when we've been on the road for some time with the Lord, well, we'll know a little bit more of Satan's deceptive attempts at us and trying to take away the joy and the peace we have in our hearts. And he's indeed doing that. You see, once you're truly saved, you're out of Satan's control. You're now held in the hands of a sovereign God who purposes to fulfill his will in our lives. But that does not mean at all, and we know this by experience, that Satan is finished with trying to attack us and to undermine and take away our joy. Because if we have received great spiritual blessing from the Lord, then we should also be aware that there are coming to us times of great spiritual attack. We have just come through a time of spiritual blessing of this past week. We have known the presence of the Lord in times of prayer. We have known His presence around the Word of God, and our hearts have been fed and strengthened, and we have a desire to present the needs of the congregation, the needs of our families, the needs of our nation before God. We want to call upon the Lord, and we have pressed through with Him. And so therefore, my friend, do not be surprised at all when the devil will send his strong, icy wind of opposition against us, and it will have the effect of wanting to chill us right to the bone. This wind that Satan comes to attack the people of God with, it will be a wind to try to oppose us and stop our advancement. It will be a wind that will try to overturn the very spiritual life that we have in Christ and to put us on the rocks, set us aside, leaving us in doubt, leaving us wondering, where is the protection of the Lord? Where is the kindness of the Lord? Where is His grace in my life? Yes, we are very prone to be open to such a thing because Satan's box of tricks is very full. And he is usually coming to us in ways that maybe we did not expect it. But of course, the longer you've been on the Christian road and the more times that we have been duped by the devil's trickery, we become a little bit more aware, a little bit more shrewd, could we say, about understanding how the devil will come to get at us, because he wants to upset us, make us weary, doubting ourselves before the Lord, and then just getting under our skin. Well, after such a week as we have come, Let every believer strap on this awareness and be doubly ready and prepared for however that attack may come. Because after you've come through times of great blessing, these things will come. But we also know by experience that the devil doesn't just do it after the fact. He will often come before the fact. And if you're attempting or preparing something spiritual for the Lord, then you also will know that he will try to stop you from progressing to that point. And after you get over that, he will try to disrupt you after the fact. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, but we do want to be very careful that in the discharging of the duty of the Lord, in our service for the Master, in our wanting to live in his joy and peace, that these things will not be taken from us at all. Don't we remember the account in Matthew 4 where the Lord was taken into the wilderness? He was fasting and praying for 40 days. It was at the very conclusion of that time when Satan comes to the Lord and he tempts him, turn these stones to bread and satisfy your hunger. It was a justifiable, a reasonable thing for Satan to suggest to the Lord. And how subtle he is, because you know, the devil knows, and he will come to you and I with very, what seems to be reasonable things for us to do, acceptable things. You're hungry, Lord. Well, if you're hungry after doing service for God in fasting and praying for 40 days, it's only a reasonable thing. Turn the stones to bread and then take care of your hunger. Well, the subtlety of the devil toward us, as it was toward Christ at that time, he was not there and not set on earth to use his supernatural power to satisfy human needs, and certainly not his own human needs. Yes, he would use that power to satisfy the needs of many others. He will turn a piece of bread enough to feed thousands of people. He will use his supernatural power for that. But he will not do so to take care of his own immediate personal physical needs. He will not use his own power as a display to take care of self. Oh, the restraint that we see in the hand of Christ. Oh, the wonder and the majesty of our Lord Jesus. But how Satan comes, and the lesson for us to draw from this, and a little tidbit of information, don't be duped into allowing the devil to even take the Word of God, as we have read in Psalm 91 further on in that temptation. You remember what he said, well, the Lord will give his angels charge over you. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple and all will be well. He was trying to eliminate the life of Christ before he would get to the cross. The devil is so subtle, friends. Maybe you have been on the receiving end of some temptation, of some trick of the evil one, even following our time of spiritual blessing last week. Let us be very much aware of this. You know, sometimes we have to confess that the devil gets blamed for some things that are not his fault, or that he's not responsible for. And we ourselves must acknowledge that the flesh, our flesh, is very deceptive and very weak. And sometimes that we are in a tepid spiritual temperature by our own fault and by our own doing. And therefore, whatever the case may be, whether it is directly a temptation of the evil one or our own sinful nature that we're struggling and wrestling against, we want by God's grace to do what is right. We want by the Lord's grace to follow him with all our hearts. And therefore, our prayer would be, Lord, ever watch over us. But allow us, O God, and give us the desire to be under the protection of our loving God. Help us to be under that place, and in that place where we will not drift and wander off. And so, friends, I want us to think on the opening verse of Psalm 91 this morning for these precious words. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is this abiding place that the psalmist is writing about? Where is it located? Well, we're told very clearly it is the secret place of the Most High. David, in several different places in the Psalms, wrote about a hiding place of refuge. He spoke in Psalm 46 about that place of refuge that we will flee to and be protected and kept safe, even though storms are raging around us. And he said, even though the very world itself crumbles and collapses away, which one day it will, by the way. But even at that point, where does David say, the Lord is my refuge and my strength. I am under His care, His protection. I want to abide in that place. I want to know that secret place of my Lord. In Psalm 31, David speaks about hiding in the secret of His presence. Christian, do you know today that location? Have you known it in personal experience? Have you known the abiding in that state and mind of communion with God? It is a good thing for us to think about following on and going on from the spiritual victories of last week. But never let us think for a moment that we dare venture out without the protection, without the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, whereby we might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one that comes against us. I need to know this secret place. The word secret in our text, it's the word covering. And as soon as we think about the word covering, our minds would go to what else does God speak of as covering in His Word? Where is there a covering? Well, if we go back to the Ark of the Covenant, and even further back beyond that to Noah's Ark, we see a picture of how God speaks and will address the idea of covering. Because the word pitch, atonement, covering that Noah used to secure the ark, making it watertight, both on the inside and the outside of the ark, it had to be, or else the ark would have leaked. And that wouldn't have done for over a year on the water. So therefore, what it had to be was completely covered and secured and watertight. When they were on the inside of the ark, they were in the secret place of the abiding presence of the Lord, and they were safe. When God said to Noah and to all his family, come in, He didn't say go in. He said come in. The Lord was on the inside with them, and they had a place of security, a place where they knew that the Lord was. And you think of the Ark of the Covenant, where it was located, in the secret place of the Holy of Holies. And as it was abiding there, people did not have access to it. It was covered with a double covering, a double secret place, if you like, because there was the veil that allowed the priest to do their operation and their work in the first section of the tabernacle, where they had to go in, where the altar of incense was, the table of showbread, the candlestick. And then only once a year, we know the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with blood, the atoning blood, and he would place that upon the mercy seat where the cherubim were overarching. Those angels by image and statue were there. And you see, in that place of the holy place where they had the first covering, the veil, but you see, if you were an onlooker on the outside looking at the holy place itself, you would find a very strange thing. You would find that it was covered with animal skins, badger skins, all sewn together. in a massive covering. And there were several coverings, one of red scarlet and the outer one made of the badger skins. And, well, the outside, it didn't look very attractive. It looked, well, we could say sort of ugly. It was all just covered over. You couldn't see a thing because it covered the gold paneling that was the house. And inside was the abiding. So there was a secret place. It was a covering, a hidden place. But inside the altar, the mercy seat, it marked God's presence was there. Because he said, I will meet with my people at that place where the blood has been shed. In that secret place, I'm going to be there and I will meet with you. And the imagery and the typology is so important for us because it was at the very place where the shedding of the blood was, is where this, where the God of heaven meets with his people. And it's at Calvary and the result of Calvary's cross that our Lord meets with us in that secret place of fellowship, of communion, where we know that the atoning blood has been shed. And the blood has been applied to that altar. And we have peace with God and the peace of God in our hearts as a result of that. And so our standing today and the joy that we have in the Lord is all because of our Savior and all because of Calvary. Are you abiding today, my friend, in that secret place? It was a place where no stranger was allowed to enter. No, if you were a stranger, you could not have access. And you know what the message is for us today? Friend, if you're not a true child of Christ, if you're not a believer, then you have no warrant. You have no authority to come into God's holy presence. And Jesus said, to them that would receive him, to them gave he authority and power to become the sons and daughters of God. And so in Christ and with his atonement applied to us, we are welcome because we are his children, his family. But if not, we are strangers to God. We are separated from the Lord. We do not know the covering of that secret place of fellowship and of communion with God. Oh, friends, if you're not a Christian today, if you do not know that joy and peace of sins forgiven and of knowing you have a home in heaven, then today God has blessed you with an opportunity, another one, an opportunity to get right with God, an opportunity to receive the free grace of salvation. The opportunity to be born again of His Spirit. That's the message of saving grace. That's the great evangelical theme that is presented and preached from all the types and shadows of the Old Testament brought into the reality and fulfillment in the New. Today, we have joy and peace in believing, and we are in Christ today, covered in that secret place of abiding. You know, there's a little warning for us here as Christians, because we want to abide with the Lord. We want to be in that secret place that God says is a special one. We also want to beware of some other secret places that are not so wholesome, that are not so good for the believer. No. In Proverbs 9, verse 17, Solomon speaks about the bread of secrecies. The bread of secrecies. What's he talking about? He's talking about things that, well, they are sweet to the taste, but of themselves they are poison. And if we indulge ourselves in the bread of secrecies, in those things that are attractive to us, those things that draw us and pull us in, It's going to be so much the opposite of the secret place that God is talking about and where He wants us to abide. But those secret things are done in private, all right. They're done hidden away from other people. No Christian, no believer ever wants anyone to find out what things you're up to if they're no good. And therefore, let us be very aware of that, because things that are done simply to satisfy the flesh, they may bring some sort of a tasty enjoyment for a moment, but it will end up in great spiritual sickness. And what will happen is that that contagion, if it is not quarantined and dealt with, it will spread the plague of sin far and wide. And all my friends, we're pressed with that point today in the reality of what's happening in our world and of the concern that many folks have of the spreading of plague. And beware, my friend, that we ourselves as Christians, in the spiritual sense of that, are not also guilty of contaminating others, having infected or dwelling in the secret place of things that should not be. No, we don't want that. But what we do pray is that God will bring us and keep us and give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that we would follow Him, and that we will know well the location, and that we will be happy to frequent that location. And it draws into the second point that I have for you this morning. Well, where the Christian is to live. Where is the Christian supposed to abide? Well, we're told, he that dwells in the secret place. The person that dwells, that abides in the secret place. It's sad, but the blessings promised will not be fully experienced by every child of God. Not be fully experienced by everyone to live in close fellowship with the Lord. Each one of us who are saved by the Lord's grace, we look back to a time, well, when the Lord dealt with our soul. We look back to a time when we were unsaved and we felt the conviction of sin. We knew what it was. And we found out then, by the precious direction and leading of the Holy Spirit, we were brought into the secret place of knowing forgiveness of sins, of knowing what it was to abide and to dwell in Christ. For if we abide in Christ, we will know forgiveness of sins, and we will have the blessing of His presence with us. But those who by deep desire and humble obedience of the Word of God receive the rich blessings of that place, of fellowship and abiding with the Lord, walking in the joy of Him and in the light of the Holy Spirit, that is a tremendous thing that cannot be overstated. It is a blessing that is for every true believer, every child of God. The Lord tells us the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And the more you and I recognize of our great privilege of abiding in that place, of dwelling in that secret place, the Lord empowers us. He strengthens us. We have been studying in Galatians chapter 5 about what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit developing, growing, being a fruit that's going to affect other people in our lives by walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Ah, the Lord tells us, doesn't He, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure to glorify God? Is our joy to speak well of Him? Is our joy to know His abiding fellowship every moment of the day? Ah, let our treasure be in that place. May our anticipation of all that God has for us not be just physical. Even though the Lord pours out so many temporal and spiritual blessings to us, And we rejoice in those things. And God has said, I've given you all things richly to enjoy. The Lord wants us to do that, but never to allow those things to smother or to extinguish our spiritual abiding. You know, when the Christian abides in the presence of the Lord and dwells with Him, there is in the third place the rest of this abiding with God. We're told in this text that we shall abide. The word abide here, it means to lodge or to stay there permanently. Rest is so sweet to a tired body. And I know that after this past week, I just take my hat off to so many of you who came from a full week's work every day, so involved in all the responsibilities of family beyond work, and yet you were there each night, you attempted, you were there to try to do what you could, and I'm sure you're exhausted on Saturday. Maybe you even slept in a little bit Saturday morning, I don't know, some may have. But there's something very sweet about putting your head down upon a very soft pillow when you've been exhausted from much work and you're able to rest and sleep. Now, don't get sleepy now, okay? I'm talking about a nice soft pillow. Don't be putting your head down. No sleepers allowed in the service. We want everybody to be alert. But there is great peace and great rest in the abiding of the Lord. And oh, there's the alarm going off now. Somebody has to wake up. Okay, wake everyone up. David said, great peace have they that love thy law, and in nothing shall they be offended. Think back, friend. The time before you were saved, you did not have real peace. You may not have thought too much about God. Maybe you did at times. But you went through life and things just kept going and kept going. And yes, you had troubles and trials. And the problem was that in the midst of that time, without Christ, you did not know and experience the peace that now you can testify of. And many of you will say, I don't know how I ever survived. I don't know how unbelievers get through life, because they do not have the place of refuge they can go to. They do not have and know the peace that God brings to the heart of the child of God. But today, we know forgiveness of sins. We know, friend, that we will never be judged for our sins to be separated from God, because all of our sins have fallen, have come upon the Savior on Calvary. And He has washed our sins away. And we know what it is today to walk in peace and in fellowship with Him. And the hymn writer put it this way, things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on His loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while He whispers in my ear, I am His and He is mine. Is there a greater peace than that? Is there a greater rest than that? Oh, friends, let us abide in the Savior and under the shadow of our Lord's almighty protection. This is the fourth thought we have for you this morning, the great protection that there is in this place, because it's under the shadow of the Almighty. That verse or that thought comes up later on in the psalm as well. And we're told about being under the wings of the Lord and under the great protection that there is for us, and how true and comforting it is for the child of God that no matter what attack comes, we are under the protection. The image of the cherubim in the Holy of Holies over the Ark of the Covenant, well, that was very special. It was very special, but the priest, the high priest, could only go in there once a year, and he had to go in with atonement blood, or else he would have been struck dead. No one was allowed in there. But the greater truth, my friend, not just the overarching wings of the cherubim, of the angels that will be given charge, but it's the place where God is, and the place where the Lord dwells, and where He is, there is for us protection, where nothing can harm us, where no power and force can affect the child of God. And immediately you might ask yourself, it might come to your mind just now, but what do you mean by that? Because I got trouble in my life. And what happens when I'm going through some horrific time? Remember this truth, friend, that you are never out of the reach of your God. You are never out of the overshadowing of the Lord's purpose and providence in your life. He is intending and allowing, because you are being made like unto the image of Jesus through the very trial that God has allowed to happen in your life. But don't think for a moment you're not protected. You are in that trial in the place of the most solemn protection of the Lord. He is there. His great mercy is overarching you. And we today can rejoice in that truth. The Lord, His eyes are open unto the righteous, and His ears open unto their cry. The shadow of God's wings over us. But it does not cause darkness, as you might think, or as the picture would kind of give. If you have something that's covered over, it's darkness and it might be gloomy. Yes, it would be warm, and there's a place of protection for the little chicks that are under the mother's wings. But in this sense, the picture is simply God is there protecting us. There is not obscurity, there is not darkness, there is light, and there is hope. And there is all joy that we have at that time, because our God is our refuge and our strength. He is our stronghold in the time, in the day of trouble. So much so that at the very last of this psalm, He shall call upon me, and I will answer Him, and I will be with Him in trouble. Ah, there's the secret. God is with us in trouble under the shadow of His protecting wings. I am with you in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. God is working out His purpose in our lives, and He is honoring and will honor us, because everything that we do and accomplish in our lives for the glory and honor of Jesus, it will be ultimately for God's glory and honor. And as we will think again tonight in the evening service about Mary and how she anointed the feet of the Lord, she did that for His glory. Others may have misunderstood, but Jesus didn't misunderstand. And you know, when we expend ourselves for the glory of God, even through our trials and troubles, never forget, my friend, that we are under His watchful eye, His protecting hand, and we can have great joy. We will never be cast off. We will never be in hell. If we are in Christ today, we have all that He has intended for us, and there is great joy for the child of God. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving God, we pray that this truth and this tremendous verse of Scripture would be a blessing to us. It would abide in our minds, and that we would turn its truth over and over in our hearts. Lord, we're thankful. The times when we have failed and we have faltered, we become weak. We're like Peter. We take our eyes off the Savior. We look at other things that disturb us, and then we begin to sink. Oh Lord, take hold of our hand, we pray. Restore our weak faith and bring us to the place of safety and of service for our great God. Hear our prayers now today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 130. The familiar words, "Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand." If you're not remaining for communion today, then please feel free to leave after we sing the first verse. Let's stand as we worship God.